Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Viewpoints on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. It has been another roaring week for U.S. equities. The NASDAQ and Dow Jones are trading just shy of the 20,000 and 45,000 levels, all at new all-time highs, and so is the S&P 500. So with that, Burkhard, welcome back. It's great to be with you today, and congratulations again for having called this bull market by its name since the beginning of 2024. Now, looking at where we stand, some investors are getting a bit nervous. Valuations, geopolitics, and other risk factors are, of course, all top of mind. So, Burkhard, how much longer can the good times last? Many are wondering this. So let's talk a bit about risk factors. Start with valuations. What do you make of them at the moment?
Well, thank you, Dan. Let me just, in responding to that, take you on a short walk down memory lane over the last 3 years. As we saw in 2022, investors really don't like recessions, not even the no-shows. And I remember vividly how there was great anxiety in 2022 when Wall Street's best and brightest all warned us that inflation was out of control, monetary tightening, and the end of the helicopter money-driven consumer boom were all going to force a hard landing called a recession. But in fact, that widely predicted recession turned out to be one of the biggest no-shows since Samuel Beckett first staged Waiting for Godot in 1953. However, fear, as we know, is an infectious disease. And investors slashed the forward PE by almost 30% from 22 to 15 times. And that valuation-led bear market between January and October the 12th in 2022. But what the bears were missing were two important things. First, that the labor shortage would force companies to raise productivity. And it's still doing just that. During the last 3 years, we've actually seen the strongest productivity boom since the early 1990s. We think productivity will continue to grow. And that's why we've been talking about the roaring 20s for some time now. And what's more, productivity inevitably lowers inflation. So in our view, inflation was never out of control, and it evidently did not cause a recession. Second, it's usually a fool's game to bet against U.S. consumers. In our view, they're going stronger for longer because, you know, the strong labor market and record high net worth of baby boomers, it's all fueling their wealth and health and confidence, and we think that'll last. But in 2022, the bear market, of course, ran its course because the bears back then were the opinion leaders. However, it bottomed early. I said this, in fact, on October 11th. And most bear markets, they tend to bottom with PEs well below their historical average of 15 times 8. But this one bottomed at a relatively high forward PE of 15 times 3, only slightly below the historical average. And that was because markets were quicker than Wall Street's best and brightest in sensing that the hard landing fears were really wildly overdone. So as the economy proved resilient, the forward PE started rebounding since October the 12th, 2022. And since then, it rebounded from 15.3 to its current 22 times 3. That's an impressive 45%. Of course, it was supported by an equally impressive 16% increase in the forward earnings per share. And the result's been a solid bull market so far, fingers crossed, one that has kept pace with all the previous 8 bull markets. And remember that bull markets on average last 6.6 years. I mentioned that before, and usually generate, at least on average, generate total annualized returns of 19%. The whole point of this walk down memory lane is that valuation multiples really have been the key driver of stock market gains and losses. as they rise and fall, they amplify and anticipate changes in the consensus analysts' expectations for earnings per share.
Well, Burkhard, that was very helpful historical context, though where should we expect valuations and earnings to lead us in the future if valuation multiples are higher, then return expectations should be lower? What do you make of that assessment?
Fundamentally, that's true, of course. There's no beating around the bush, but if you think about the market momentum, here's what we think. In our opinion, the key driver of the forward PE right here and now is investors' perception of how much and for how long earnings can grow before the next recession comes around. Investors will continue to pay a higher PE the longer they believe that the expansion will last. That's because time is money. So now that the Fed started cutting rates on September 18th, the risk of a recession certainly diminished even further. So what else other than the Fed could derail growth? Perhaps another geopolitical crisis that causes oil prices to soar? That's possible, but still unlikely in our view, as all the geopolitical crises since 2022 haven't really boosted the price of oil. Another tariff war and trade war? Another possibility, but then again, so far stock investors aren't fazed by the rhetoric, which they believe is speaking loudly and carrying a big stick as a negotiating tactic, and we're inclined to agree with that. So, see, the long and short of it is we think today's high valuations are pretty justified. We do acknowledge that they're stretched by historical standards, and we certainly would not want to see them go much higher, because that would really raise the odds of a 1990s-style melt-up scenario, which, frankly, is a possibility for next year, for 2025. But it's not our main case scenario. Instinctively, we'd put something like a 20% probability to that. Meanwhile, we do expect the bull to have legs. That's our main scenario, because earnings, labor markets, productivities, consumers, and private balance sheets, they all remain in good health. Oh, and by the way, we still view the disruptive power of innovation as one of the greatest deflationary forces of our time, so that helps too.
Well, thank you, Burkhard, for that clarity. I'm sure that's very comforting to hear for our listeners, our clients, as we are all hoping the Santa season to be a joyful season for the markets. Though, of course, we need to acknowledge, spend some time on geopolitical developments, which have occurred recently across the globe. This week was less about geopolitics, but really more about breathtaking domestic political disarray, which has occurred in both Seoul, South Korea, and Paris, France. How, Burkhard, would you put that into your rather upbeat perspective?
Sure. Well, frankly, being a little closer to Paris than to Seoul, I did watch the events unfold with a sense of bewilderment, what can I say? Needless to add that one could only be flabbergasted by the South Korean flirt with martial law. But then again, look, my take is that these events only reinforce the U.S. exceptionalism, which we discussed here many times. Why on earth would global asset allocators send money to France or the EMU against that sinking feeling on the River Seine? But hold your breath. France will not default and, you know, somehow remains government. It will just have to do with gridlock. But as most U.S. investors know, gridlock isn't necessarily bearish. It's just a state of political reality. So my conclusion from all this remains pretty unchanged. The United States have the greatest economy and markets on earth, and investors are right to flock there. In Europe, I'd argue that they're well served to prefer the more nimble, small and mid-sized enterprises over the more politically exposed large caps, and prefer Switzerland, regionally speaking, over the EMU. And in Asia, we view crises like Seoul's as a buying opportunity, because South Korea, make no mistake, is a very robust and vibrant democracy.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for offering some clarity around those notable developments across France and South Korea, as well as sharing your views on current market dynamics, as at this point we are quickly approaching the conclusion of 2024. I do look forward to picking back up with our conversation in the week ahead, though always a pleasure, Burkhard. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Dan. Have a good rest of the day and speak again soon. Thank you for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.